Okay, so our recording has started. Now give me just a moment here to start us off on our webinar as well. Hang on 1 second. Show my screen.
Hey, and Toby, I'm on the line as well. I didn't know if you knew or not.
Oh, great. Great. I've got you unmuted, I guess.
And just for reference for people who listen to this on a recording, you'll have a recording of the screenshots and the online part as well. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's a little, you know, we're stitching together two pieces of technology right now. The conference line is recorded separately. So what I'll have is I'll have the video of the PowerPoints and things like that and the website walkthrough with my audio because I'm on a microphone. And I can put my phone on speaker so we can get you as well. So the conference call will be separate from the webinar because we're using the different, that other line. But, we'll have both recordings up on the site, within a few days here.
Okay.
So let me, I have one more button, I think, to push here.
And this kind of content, of course, going back through a few times, sometimes it's useful of putting your webmaster, whoever else it might be, staff members on it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What we wanted to do, we have a pretty thick agenda today, and, it's really, going to be pretty challenging to get through everything. So I guess I'd ask everyone, if you submitted questions by email, I have a few, or if you have any specific questions for today, if you can wait until the last about 30 minutes of our time today, that'll be the best time to do that. I've got about 6 kind of high priority items to make sure that everybody is up to speed on and is working on. We have a very large number of new Maximum Impact members on the line today. We have a very large number that are in the association here at the end of the year. We have a lot of things that we're working on for the new year and for all of our new members to get up to speed quickly. And we have, in general terms, and Matt Harvey, this might be something for you to perhaps discuss slightly or quickly, is we have large groups of members, of new members, that fit one of two categories. There's a relatively stark divide between the two. Category number one is I've been running a martial arts school for some number of years, typically greater than 3 or 4, right? So they've been doing this a while and have just never been able to break through that, $7,000, $8,000, $15,000 plateau. That's kind of like group number one. We have a large number of folks in that category. And then we have a large number of folks in another category, which is very interesting, which are schools that are doing $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. And again, have been sort of stuck at that level for an extended period of time, perhaps, a number of months, perhaps even a number of years. So there's sort of the commonality where there's been a glass ceiling to try to break through. But we have a large number of people who fit both groups, and many of them are on the call today. So, maybe it might be useful for you before we start off on what, sort of my agenda is for the day. What would you say about that, and how should they be thinking about these things? And I know that you've been working a lot with school owners who are doing $35,000, $45,000, $55,000 a month, and more than anyone in the martial arts industry, you've been sort of the master at getting them to, $75,000, $100,000, $125,000 a month, and all the commonalities that you see. What would you say are maybe some of the big takeaways? Remember, and I'm getting my feet wet on all this. I need to be thinking about, and what do I need to be doing immediately?
I don't know if it's me or you, but you kind of faded there a little bit on the audio.
I was switching over to my speaker so that the other video would get the audio as well, but that may be a lost cause. But anyway.
Yeah, that didn't work. But, you're absolutely right. One of my favorite old Nick Okina's quotes was sliding along laterally. And, there's I've talked to recently, and a couple of them who have operations, frankly, who are by most people's standards profitable and high grossing, but from my worldview, they're a mess. One example was a school It's an MMA school that has, I think the number is 850 active students, grossing $60,000 a month, with either 16 or 18 part-time instructors, and two receptionists, a general manager, and two partners. And, you know, I mean, they're managing to make money, but it just makes my head hurt thinking about how, you know, convoluted an operation they're running. And on the other end of the spectrum, a lot of schools that I've been working with or talking to, and of course the ones we're working with in their circle, are mostly making pretty dramatic growth. But what I've found is a lot of pretty successful school owners end up on that sliding along laterally mode. And then what they do to themselves is they sit down, you know, suck it up, take a deep breath, sit down at Starbucks or a restaurant, get a blank legal pad and make an 82-point to-do list. And then look at the to-do list, and what they say to themselves is, wow, I just don't want to work that hard. And then they go back to doing just everything the way they've always done it. And I think what happens so many times in both cases is the shift from 60,000 a month to 120 isn't about the 82-point to-do list and, God, now I have to work 20 hours a week harder. It's about a shifting paradigm of what their business should look like. And, you know, so many times people think that for a big jump in my income, I just got to suck it up and work that much harder, but see, life's pretty good right now. You know, I'm making $250,000 a year, and I've got the new Beamer, and, you know, the kids are in private school, and, you know, and everything's pretty good, and I'd rather work 20 hours a week less than 20 hours a week more. And they kind of miss the point of the way that we normally get to that point, if that makes sense. And so many times what they're running is a high volume of students but fairly low revenue per student. And, you know, the case of the school with 800 students, you know, I said to them, you know, in any body of students, there's 20% that want to do anything you offer them, and half of them probably that can afford it. So if you had 80 people who are willing to do $500 or $1,000 a month, you've just added a huge, you know, I mean, what they would have done is tripled or quadrupled their net profit from one-tenth of their student body, being in something that was more high-end, more elaborate. And so I think a lot of times it's just the problem with being in the industry for a long time, and it's true of small schools as well as it is of big schools, is you've been exposed to a lot of stuff, think you've seen everything, but are missing a key paradigm, a key way of looking at it, that then shifts your profitability dramatically without, you know, killing you, without having to do dramatically more effort. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it completely does, and I couldn't agree more. Even in the case of, let me maybe recast what you just said, because I think that in the martial arts industry, as running a martial arts school, our biggest challenge, let me say this differently, our real mission is to create a better life for the customer, for the student, right? And one way that we have to do that is by teaching them how to defend themselves and to be, you know, have more confidence and have a higher level of self-esteem and all of those components. But I think what you're describing as well is, in almost all cases, we've been able to identify opportunities for us to serve our customer at a higher level. Whether it's, and really, the way to think about that is exactly what you said. It's just simply thinking about your business differently. What other problems can you solve for your customers? What other challenges do they have in their life that you can help them with? We are experts in human development, whether you consciously understand that or not. Learning to be a black belt, learning to, you know, do what we do on the path to black belt, we learn how to become experts in human development. And it's a huge opportunity that we can offer to our community and to our students. Just so long we decide to take the advantage of the opportunity. And I couldn't agree more. There are huge opportunities for schools in that category.
Well, a conversation I had 15 minutes ago, well, maybe it's more like 25 minutes ago now, is $680,000 a year Krav Maga school should be, in my estimation, $2 million a year. And it's now two very highly accomplished Krav instructors are saying to me, well, Krav students don't want this mental training and so forth. And I say to them, well, you've got three problems that I see. You've got high attrition in the early stages. You've got low progress rates at the lower stages. And if you don't teach them mental skills, goal setting, follow through, tenacity, you never fix those other two things, do you? And the first thing we need to do is not have to force so many people in the front door to stay even. And then they say, well, we've already bought into this idea of raising the prices and we're charging a lot more. And now that we're doing that, we're attracting much higher quality people. And the higher quality people that we're attracting don't need life skills, for God's sake. Because we're getting attorneys and MDs and PhDs and so forth. And you know, my response to that was, which again, a lot of martial artists think the higher quality clientele that I have, the less I have to teach them, because I'm kind of intimidated by where these guys are at relative to me. I mean, I think that's like the subliminal message, right? But I said to him is, well, who do you think is populating the Tony Robbins seminar? Who do you think is going to Fiji? Who is in all these other things? It's the people who already have learned some goal setting, some tenacity, some focus, some mental skills, are attracted to martial arts for that reason. And whether it's in the case of the crop thing, they've seen a couple of the movies with Jennifer Lopez or whoever it is, and they have this picture of, you know, not that this is just a physical thing, but this is going to teach me mental focus at a higher level and help me accomplish more. Or if it's a more traditional and standard view of martial arts tied to that, is those are the people who want it the most and are willing to pay the most. And if it's a child, it's the successful parents. The further you go up on the income scale, and there's a break point to this, but generally the more they value all of those things. It's, you know, like my son and daughter go to a very expensive private school here by my house, and one of the things they're doing is character development lessons and all of that kind of stuff, and they get them together once a week and do presentations on it. And it probably has an average income demographic of, I guess, $400,000 to $500,000 a year. The parents really appreciate that stuff. They want them to learn how to read and write also, but they really appreciate the expanded things that they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. They've identified how valuable that really is. You know, the people who don't identify how valuable that is, they're more difficult to persuade. You know, it takes more energy and effort to persuade them that this is something of value. But just like you said, success, people who are already successful have some sense of what got them there, and they want more of that. You know, they know that it works. They have proof of concept. So I totally agree with you. And that's, I think, something that's really important for everybody who's a member, especially if you're a newer member, to understand. Yes, a lot of the stuff that we do as an association, a lot of the things that we're going to help you with are operational components. You know, marketing systems, how to improve your direct mail, how to improve your website, how to improve the introductory process, how to improve how you're going to handle the phone call, how to improve the student experience. You know, there's a lot of rubber meets the road tactics that we're going to be working on today, that we're going to be talking about today, and obviously through your tenancy with us. But more than anything, I say this with probably not as much humility as it deserves, but what we're doing inside of schools is light years ahead of the rest of the industry. You know, we have, and again, my personal story is, you know, I ran my own, inside of my, you know, martial arts schools here, one component of the program that I had overlaid over it was $1,000 a month, sort of an entrepreneurial coaching program. It was people who were students in the school who also either were self-employed, mid-level executives, upper-level executives, upper-level managers. And I created this mastermind group of folks like that I led through the school, and that program, you know, generated more as much revenue as the rest of the entire school did, right? And things like that, there's a dramatic need for inside your student base. And those types of programs we can layer on in the Mile High Karate version of it, we call it Leadership Elite. You know, it's a group of students that see the value in that type of an experience and are extremely excited to be in that type of a program and frankly pay you a premium for it. So that's just something to think about. We are the things that we're doing, other than just the rubber meets the road, helping you with proven strategies that are working in today's market, it's also, there are huge opportunities for you to think way outside the box. And we're going to be, you know, we're going to be working a lot on that.
Yeah.
And that's all, you know, I may be pretty here, so I'm not sure,
yeah.
Not sure how far through.
Yeah, let's shift gears, Jada, with just one more comment on that, is the other thing that goes unsaid from what you were saying a minute ago is that, you know, there really is no such thing as being at a comfortable point and just keeping your business clicking along at that point. It's, you know, back to the, I think it was Calvin Coolidge or somebody, but it, you know, it ends up being quoted as Ray Kroc's favorite quote, if you're either green, you're growing, or you're ripe, you're rotting. And, you know, I know in my 30 years of being self-employed, running schools, and 40 years in the martial arts business, is anytime I got to a point where I was comfortable with everything, you know, a lot of times it's the new house, the new car, the one thing or another, you know, the income's just fine. That's when everything started crashing. There's no such thing as being comfortable and staying comfortable, because that's when you start to rot on the vine. I've seen a lot of those. A lot of these people I was talking to specifically at higher levels in ESC, they didn't have any vision for their future. They had a pretty decently profitable operation. Were kind of in the elite of the people that they, you know, were interacting with. But the problem was there was no what's next for them. And if there's not a what's next for you in your business, and sometimes it's just a what's next on training up your staff and getting them to be able to do it as well without you as you're doing, and sometimes it's shifting the paradigm in the school to dramatically improve the profitability, and sometimes it's making a big leap, whether it's multiples or some other big leap, but there really is no such thing as being static in this business. You're either on a trajectory upward or your trajectory down, any more than our economy can stay at zero growth or low growth and do well. So it's the other piece of that question is, you know, once you get comfortable, you better look around and figure out, how to move forward from there.
Well, and you know, intrinsically, we should all know that as martial artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets to, I don't know, you pick the number, first degree, second degree, third degree, ninth degree, eighth degree, whatever. Nobody gets to a certain level in martial arts and then stops training and thinks that you're still moving forward. You know, think that everything's going to stay okay, right? You know, the minute you stop stretching, you lose flexibility. The minute you stop, the minute you stop training physically, your body doesn't stay the same. It begins its decline, right? I mean, we should all know that intrinsically as martial artists, but I totally agree with you. It's something that, when it comes to the business side of the equation, is dramatically overlooked. You know, and it's almost a blind spot. So good, I totally agree. So
you know, while we shift to your packed agenda here, we're going to run out of time as usual.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We've got such a thick agenda to get through. Everybody, please bear with me. And let's move through this as quickly as we can. One of my favorite quotes, you know, by Brian Tracy, the recipient of our Lifetime Achievement Award a couple of years ago out in San Diego, was, if you want to be successful at anything in life, find other people who are already successful in that area and just do what they do. You know, success leaves tracks. And that's why all of you are here. That's why all of you are part of the organization. That's why all of you are with us, is that, you know, we have several proven, we know, there are only five business models in the martial arts industry, basically, if you boil it down to its component parts. And Master Oliver's been doing this for, you know, 40 years in the martial arts, 30 years running schools. I've been deeply studying this industry for, a decade and a half. Either one of us can tell you within a couple of percentage points, based on the model that you're running, what your results are going to be, right? And we know which models work well, we know which models don't, and what the challenges are in each one. And that type of group opportunity is very, very useful, right?
Not to date myself, but I think it's actually 38 years now running schools.
I'm sorry, yeah.
I think it's actually 38 years running schools now. I think Jeff Smith, is up to 45 or 48 years running schools. not to make myself sound ancient, I did get a young start, but the 30-year anniversary here in Denver will be next year.
Right, so then I had Junior Institute, exactly.
Yeah.
So, So then for perspective's sake, obviously, we're watching everything that flows through the industry from an organizational level, but also from a grassroots, rubber meets the road, soldiers on the ground aspect. You know, we see the good, the bad, and the ugly. We sort of sit in this crow's nest of the martial arts industry. Every new application, piece of software, piece of website, piece of technology, you know, package of this or that or the other thing, you know, we see it all. And in almost all cases, we're testing these things live on site in locations all over the world. And one of the advantages we have of all coming together like this very frequently is that we have the chance to share what's working today. You know, what of these strategies are producing good results in the current under current market conditions and what aren't. So it's definitely something you always want to kind of keep your ear to the ground of what we're describing. Read through that NatMA Now newsletter every month. Read through the Mile High Maverick newsletter every month. You're going to get two newsletters every month in the mail. And it's very important that you take a highlighter and go through all that stuff. We're revealing to you in those materials exactly what's happening on the ground. None of this is theoretical BS, right? This is all what is working today. And it's tens and tens and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in time, energy, effort, and money that you're tapping into at a huge discount. So, you know, take the opportunity to go through that with a highlighter and really understand what it is that you're learning, that we're revealing, you know, in real time. There are four fundamental things I think you really want to be thinking about from a strategic standpoint or from an overarching standpoint as you look at what we're going to be helping you with as a member. And there's sort of this, you know, these concentric circles or, you know, it's kind of like a bullseye. And this is the order that you have to be thinking about this. The very first and most important thing that you have to be addressing, just like we described with your students earlier, is number one is your belief. Nothing works without your belief in it, right? You know, if you had a student that came into your school and you taught them how to do a round kick and they believed that it wasn't going to work, right? You know, they told you before you even showed it to them, you know, I've seen all this stuff, and I just know that technique just doesn't work. Well, they're never going to make it work, right? It's never going to work for that person because they've already psychologically checked out. They've already created psychological barriers. And we all know, being, you know, experts in human development, we all know that psychological barriers are the most powerful, right? They're the only real barriers that we have. So something that's very important is, you have to have, I believe, the attitude, if any man can, I can, right? And I think that was one of Henry Ford's, you know, mantras. I think he had it in the back of his office. If anybody can do such a thing, why can't I? So can I, right? And you know, if you, for some reason today, don't believe that you can have a $1,000 a month program in your school, well, trust me, if I can do it, you can do it, you know? If for some reason you believe that you can't get your internet, your website to work right, well, trust me, if we can do it, you can do it. Right? If, you know, none of us have been endowed with more chromosomes than you or more, you know, better genetic engineering, better genetic code. We've all had to learn this stuff. We've all had to build these skills. And now you're taking the shortcut to acquiring them for yourself. So number one is belief. Number two is strategy. And that becomes incredibly important when you're implementing new ideas. You've got to make sure that what you're implementing adds up to the right strategy for you. I think one of the problems, and Meshavi, you talk about this a lot, one of the biggest problems with NatMA in the past was really what it was a collection of five or six random ideas from five or six random contributors all shoved together and mailed out in a box. And that simply does not work together. The five random components that were never built, never constructed to work as one congruent, smooth system. So everything you're going to hear from us, all the things that we're working with you on, are based on what your specific strategy is. If you're looking at expanding into multi-locations, if you're looking at just growing a single location, if you're looking at, you know, at operating your business as an absentee owner rather than, you know, being a chief cook and bottle washer, all of this makes a big impact on the strategy that you should be thinking about, okay? So beliefs, strategy, third is tactics. The tactics are the, you know, here's the student newsletter. You should be mailing this to all your leads every month, right? Tactics are, here's the website designs that we know are working really well, the website strategy we know is working really well. You know, go use that, right? These types of things are the tactical components. These are the how-to, right? And then finally, number four is execution. And this is another area that I think is incredibly important for you to always be thinking about and always be considering. You know, if you want to break through that plateau, if you're looking to break through some barrier, it takes massive action. It takes you know, very specific execution, very precise execution. And that's what we're here to help you with. All of these things are part of what we're helping all of our members with every step of the way. But it's very important for you to be focused on those four fundamental concepts: beliefs, strategy, tactics, execution. And frankly, you've got to have them in that order, right? If you don't believe it, then all the strategy in the world isn't going to help you, because you've already, you know, psychologically torpedoed yourself, right? And we're going to talk about this again as we move forward. Metro Oliver, any thoughts on that?
No, I think it's exactly right. The interesting experience that you and I have, which I think merits pointing out, is so many times we end up in I won't phrase it an argument, but we end up with somebody that we're trying to help, and we're trying to convince them that they could make $50,000 more personally a year, $100,000 more a year, add a zero to their income, whatever the number is, and they're arguing against it. And it always confuses me why, you know, you have an argument with somebody where they're trying to convince you of their own mediocrity or why they should fail or why they should, you know, have no better results. And somebody who's worked with hundreds of other school owners and had, you know, an incredible success track rate, they try to argue against their perspective. And it's a common syndrome, but it's completely self-defeating. I mean, if I ever sit down with somebody I know as an expert and they say, well, you should be making $1 million more a year than you are, my question is, tell me how. You know, wait a minute, I need to take notes. Wait a minute, let me get my recorder out. Let me record it. And, you know, clearly the credibility of the person telling you that is important. But once you've established that, why would you ever argue, you know, to stay where you're at? And you especially get that, I know, with some of the smaller schools that you talk to. They claim that, you know, Cincinnati, Ohio, or Los Angeles, California, or Dallas, Texas, you can't do it there, or you can't do it with Shore and Rue or BJJ or whatever, or that they tried it all and it didn't work, and of course they, you know, didn't do it very effectively. It's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like a Greenbelt student who says, well, I tried a back fist and point sparring, it didn't work. Well,
yeah.
Not the back fist, it didn't work. You know, it's the application.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. That back fist didn't work once, so I'm never going to do it again. Yeah, I totally agree. And by the way, we're going to address a few of those common challenges here in just a moment. But I totally agree. And again, if any man can, you can. And trust me, we have schools in horrible demographics. I mean, terrible demographics that are just, you know, that are just putting the lights out. I mean, they're doing fantastic. And we have schools that are any style that you can possibly imagine, you know. I mean, some real wacky stuff, you know, that are just doing fantastically well. And what you want to do is exactly what you described is, okay, why would this person possibly say that? And we're not trying to blow smoke. We're saying it because we know it's possible. We've seen it. Either we've done it ourselves, and we've helped lots and lots of other people in exactly the same circumstances do it as well. So I totally agree with you. I think it's a big issue. Now, as a fundamental point to start with, and this is important for a bunch of different reasons, but we want to take a look, everybody on the call, everybody who's new to the organization, one of the fundamental things I need you to do is to look objectively at your business, boils and all. Don't be afraid to look at what's really happening in your business. And what mostly happens in a martial arts school, after we've been running it for any number of years, is we start to be a little bit fearful of really looking at what the real performance is, because by God, it's not really all that great, and it's not really what I want it to be. So, you know, why do I want to put myself through all that torture, right? So I'm going to go through this very quickly, because almost everybody on the call has probably gone over this with you personally. But you've got to discipline yourself every week, every month, whatever, you know, at very regular intervals to look at the real numbers in your business, and especially these core fundamental numbers that we're going to go over right now. So number one, obviously, is the warm lead. How many warm leads am I generating every month? And a warm lead is someone who has taken a step toward you. They're not just a regular prospect, you know, or a suspect out in the community or anything like that. It's someone who we've interacted with in some way. Either they maybe have gotten a direct mail PD store, they've, you know, we got them into our email list, or we went to, into the community and we met them personally, or whatever the case is. But they've now taken a step towards us. They've raised their hand, basically, and said, hey, I'm interested, tell me more, right? So how many warm leads am I generating every month? You've got to know that. You've got to know how many interested people you're contacting every month. Second is, how many of those warm leads are we turning into intros? And whatever your current vernacular, whatever your current structure is for your introductory process, it's irrelevant at this point. Certainly, we're going to help you with that. We know exactly what isn't working very well, and we know what works really well for an introductory process. But for right now, don't worry about that too much. Just how many of these warm leads are turning into intros? And an intro is someone who comes in for that first experience, whatever your first experience currently is. But they've actually walked in the doors with the intent of doing something with you so that they can make some decisions about you. The third stage is enrollments. How many enrollments am I doing every month? And an enrollment is somebody who, they've gone through your introductory process, whatever that process is, but they've completed that, and they basically are saying, yes, I want to be a student. They're making some kind of a down payment. They're committing to some kind of a course of training, but they're now a full-fledged student. They're now an actual student, not like a 90-day free guy or something like that, but they're actually a real student. Fourth stage is a renewal or an upgrade, and depending on your current operational model, there's some variance there. But it's basically anyone who enrolled, but now they're either moving up to another level, or perhaps they're extending their membership. In some cases, you may not have an ascension model. There may not be an opportunity for them to move up, which everybody has opportunity for that. Everybody in our organization, there are opportunities for you to create additional higher-level programs that, if constructed appropriately, your students will thank you for it. They'll love to do. But if you don't currently have that structure in place right now, it's definitely something that should be on the bullet point list. But how many are extending? How many have done their 12 months and now have renewed for another 12, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got to know what that number is every month. And then the final number is retention or attrition, depending on how you want to measure that. So what's my dropout rate? How many people are quitting every month divided by my total student count number? So there are lots of things to measure in your business, but these are the five kind of fundamental components that you're going to want to really have a good perspective of when we talk next. Whether your time to talk is with Master Oliver or myself, these are the things that we're going to want to know about your business. And this is going to really help us be focused and really get you moving quickly. Our whole objective for today is to get you moving in our program fast. There's almost 3,000 hours of content on our members' website, right? You're going to get you know, probably, I don't know, 10 or 11 hours a month of material by mail. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is fast movement, moving quickly and getting momentum. And you don't want to get overwhelmed with all this stuff. So these are the five things to focus on first. Now, here are some target ratios that we're trying to accomplish. From warm lead to intro, we convert about 80%. So if I have 10 people who have walked in, or I have 10 people who have called in as an info call this month, I should be good enough at handling that introductory phone call. I should be good enough at handling that first personal interaction to get 80% of them to come in for their intro. I should also get about 80% of those who come in for their intro to enroll. Again, these are the things that you want to be measuring, and where we find these gaps, these are the things that we want to, you know, start to address in this order. And we're also looking for about an 80% renewal ratio. And again, for many schools, that's a little variant because they're actually not ascending students. They're just sort of end-to-end linearly renewing them. And that's a bit of a different conversation. But 80-80-80 are kind of our three fundamental targets. And then for retention rate, you know, most schools are probably dropping out 10, 11, 12% a month, maybe even more. You know, I think the best baseline is about 5% a month or better. That's dropping out. So if I have 100 students in my school, if I'm losing 4 or 5 a month, I think you're okay. Any more than 7 or 8 a month, and we've got some serious issues that we need to be talking about. You know, we need to be looking at your curriculum and how it's designed and things like that. But 5% is a really good benchmark. A lot of our members in the inner circle are dropping out, 2%, 2.5%, 3% a month. So it's definitely something that you, and by the way, just for everybody's edification, you do not increase your retention rate by just watering your curriculum down, right? This is almost exactly the opposite. We have much better retention, and in fact, much better ratios all the way across the board, the higher your quality standards are. Because the people, your students actually believe you do what you say you do, right? So this isn't about how do I fudge the numbers or how do I, strip away my curriculum so it's easy for everybody to graduate. This is really quite the opposite of that. So just kind of keep all that in mind.
I would echo what you just said is that, see, most martial arts schools mostly produce horrible martial arts students, whether it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or Karate or Taekwondo or Muay Thai, whatever it is, because somebody who drops out in 6 months and entertain themselves with your Muay Thai program or whatever it might be for 6 months, by definition, is always horrible at martial arts. And the traditionalists who say, well, the commercial schools just water everything down and they produce all these black belts and stuff and I only produced one black belt in 10 years. Really what they should reframe it for themselves is that they're mostly producing horrible martial artists because 95% or 99% drop out before accomplishing very much. And that first year is crucial. In the first year and certainly the first 90 days, you either get them hooked and get them excited and get them to feel like this is their new family and get them dedicated to it or not. And to echo again what you said is the schools that have the best retention also tend to have the most intense requirements in year 3, 4, 5, and 6. And the highest quality media, not anybody can have a couple of superstars. That doesn't mean anything. It's the median level of your students that means something. So they end up with the highest median level of quality in year 3, 4, 5, or when they get their black belt or whatever that threshold might be.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to look at that because, I was reading the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago, and they were talking about the St. Louis school system, and they were talking about these failure high schools that had only a 50% graduation rate. Well, you think about it. That's from kindergarten through 12th grade. That's 13 years. The school is an abysmal failure if they only have a 50% graduation rate. Well, of the enrollments that you do this year, will you get 50% of them the black belt in 4 years or 6 years or whatever your term is? And almost nobody is in that level. We've got to reframe what success means. And success means having them there in 3, 4, 5 years, and then when you have them there in 3 or 4 or 5 years, you can create a super high-quality martial artist, but nobody who drops out in 3, 6, or 9 months is ever going to be worthwhile.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, maybe to re-echo, what we've seen, and certainly what we know inside of our own organization, inside the Maha Karate organization, but certainly what we've seen even outside that is the higher the quality standards are in year, 2, 3, 4, the better retention is, the better the relationship with the customer is, the better all these other numbers get, because again, they believe you. They see the people that are graduating with black belt, with a black belt at 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever that might be, and they are what you said they would be. They've actually accomplished what you quote sold them at the beginning. And not just one or two people are accomplishing it, a lot of people are accomplishing it. So, for them it makes it real. So I totally agree. So what I thought we'd spend the rest of our time today until we can walk through the website is there are some big differences between the top 20%ers in our industry and the bottom 80%ers. Now, just by being part of our association, just by sort of surrounding yourself with these folks, you're already getting ready to join the top 20%, right? The fact of the matter is the bottom 80% of our industry ignore us altogether, right? Anybody who could possibly help them with their business, you know, any strategy that they could possibly use to improve. If it violates their sense of, well, I was taught this when I was a white belt, so by God, that's what I'm teaching to my white belts, and that's what my instructor was taught when he was a white belt. See, they just don't understand what this is all about, right? They don't understand that this is really about the student. It's really about what's in their best interest. It's not really about what somebody just decided to invent in the 1950s, right? It's really about something bigger than just me, bigger than just my style. It's about the next generation of martial artists. And, you know, again, just by surrounding yourself with us, with our folks, with the people that you'll meet here, you'll naturally be pulled into this top 20%. And our vocabulary is different. The phraseology we use is different. The things we measure are different. You know, if you walked up to, you know, 85%, maybe even 90% of the martial artists in the world and said, hey, by the way, what's your intro conversion rate? They wouldn't have the first damn clue what you're talking about. You know, they've never looked at those numbers. They've never measured those numbers. God, when somebody comes in, either they sign up or they don't. Right? I mean, that's how they feel about it. And we really take this seriously. We take our responsibility to our students seriously. And our mission is to change the lives of more people in our community. So it's important for us to know that. It's important for us to understand how our business is working. So here are some of the fundamental differences that we see from the top 20%ers in our industry, and in fact in every industry, and the bottom 80%. Number one is there are a lot of technical differences, meaning implementation of marketing strategy, how they manage the classroom, business processes, and things like that. And we're certainly going to be spending a lot of time on that, on the technical. But the reality is that with all of the technical stuff, little hinges really do swing big doors. Meaning that, you know, a website up on the web that looks like a brochure doesn't work very well, but with a few little tweaks, you know, creating it as a sales site, using an opt-in, you know, driving traffic the right way, a few little tweaks really do make a huge difference. But the biggest difference is in the person's fundamental beliefs. The beliefs in what they can accomplish and what they should be able to accomplish. The bottom 80% of the industry just believes that if I can make $5,000 a year doing this, I'm doing great. You know, as long as I feel good when I go to work, that's all I need. And that's certainly important. But this can be such a much more robust career and such a much more dignified lifestyle. But you first have to believe that. You've got to understand that. You know, there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people, especially people that we work with, that are making high six-figure salaries running a martial arts school full-time, that are grossing, you know, $100,000, $110,000, $120,000 a month. And there's no reason in the world that you can't model that behavior, model those results. So here are some of the specific beliefs. Number one, the bottom 80%ers believe that the market or their demographic or some other external factors are the biggest determinations of their success. They're the biggest factors. You know, God, if I were just in New York or if I were just in L.A. or if I were just in, you know, whatever, the city next door, the town next door, you know, life would be so much easier. But the contrast is that top 20%ers believe in an internal locus of control. They believe that they control their destiny, that they control their results. And I can tell you story after story, Mr. Oliver, I know you can too. We can tell you and show you story after story and example after example of schools in great demographic areas. Downtown Los Angeles, you know, suburbs of L.A., downtown New York City, Manhattan, you know, schools that are just struggling, just cannot get it together. And on the other hand, I can show you schools in, I don't know, Dodge City, Kansas, and Paducah, Kentucky, and you know, Bumfuzzle, Iowa, you know, in the middle of nowhere, but who have mastered these business fundamentals and have created really substantial businesses. So you have to ignore external factors as much as humanly possible, and know that you are the fundamental difference between the bottom 80% and the top 80%. What you believe. That's all. If there's anything you have on that, certainly feel free to jump in.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, so many times what the school owner becomes is the only ceiling is in their own personal self-limiting belief. And it just goes back to what we were talking about earlier, but, you know, we have an awful lot of people who, you know, they say they'd like to make more money, have more students, have a better lifestyle, but in reality they've set a threshold of what they think that they are personally worth, or they've set a threshold for what they think they settled for by having chosen to, you know, to run a martial arts school, which is, again, another strange phenomenon. And it's so much about whether you set those self-limiting beliefs, not whether you have really, whether that opportunity is out there, because you only see the opportunity if you believe it's there.
Yeah, I totally agree. And by the way, there's a research study. I'll dig it up, because I'll dig it up and send it around to everybody. But there's a research study, I think it was Harvard University, it was part of the Money Chase Project, but it was an interesting dynamic with people who were, it's an interesting psychological dynamic where when a human being, it's a long story, but the fundamentals were, at the fundamental human belief system, when you start to approach an income of somewhere over about 20 to 25% of what your parents made, most people get very, very, very uncomfortable, right? They really start to feel strange about that. They really start to not, you know, they don't believe that they're worth that much, because, my God, if my parents were only worth $100,000 and I'm making $120,000, I must be doing something wrong. You know, I must be doing something unethical or illegal or amoral, right? So, but there's an interesting study I dug up on that. I'll drag it around to everybody so they can see it. But anyway, so the final, I think, item on that is that, you know, real winners, the top 20%ers, winners want to be in the top 20%. They want to be great at what they do. They don't want to just be also-ran. They don't want to just be, you know, just another example. They don't want to be in the middle of their market. They don't want to price themselves between their two best competitors, you know, the highest in town and the lowest in town. I want to be in the middle. That's not what they do. They want to be the best. And you have the opportunity to be the best. You're now surrounding yourself with the best in the industry. And you'll see that there's not that much difference between what you're delivering in your classroom. Well, perhaps there's not that much difference in what your school does than what the top schools in the industry do. So we'll describe all that as we move. The next step is this. The top 20%ers, the bottom 80%ers, the people who are really struggling, believe that they're somehow different. Believe that the top 20%ers are somehow genetically superior, or they have been born with some advantages that they weren't. Or, again, they tend to blame it on the market a lot. You know, oh, he's in Manhattan, so he can make a lot more money than I can, right? And in a lot of cases, they default to saying, well, he's taking advantage of people. He's unethical or immoral. That's why he can be more successful. And the fundamental truth that I believe is the opposite of that. The people who are delivering the highest quality programs in our nation are the ones who are generating the best financial results in most cases. But then top 20%ers believe the opposite of that. They do not believe in a lack of opportunity or a lack of opportunity, I guess is the best word, in the world. The top 20%ers believe that anybody can be in the top 20%. You just have to have the right skills and attitude. There's a lot of room at the top. It's not a zero-sum game. Just because you do well in your school doesn't mean I do worse, right? It doesn't work that way. We're not penetrating our market deep enough for really any martial arts school really to be competing with each other on any substantial basis. So that's another, I think, fundamental belief that's important to understand. Next is that, again, just like I sort of mentioned, bottom 80%ers think, oh my gosh, well, I've heard both sides of the story. Oh my God, there's a school on every corner. I can't possibly be successful here because there's too much competition. And I've also heard the opposite, by the way. Well, there's only three schools in my area, so that means the area just doesn't support martial arts schools, right? Well, both are erroneous. Both are false. And the top 20%ers understand it. And they understand that the real competition that we have to deal with is, number one, bad martial arts schools, because it gives all of us a bad name. But the real competition we have in the marketplace is other youth activities, other activities that distract people from what we offer, things like baseball, soccer, gymnastics, etc., especially when you look at the environment and the culture and the quality of those programs. If you look at the average soccer program, who's the coach, right? It's not somebody who has 25 years of understanding human psychology and understanding how children behave, understanding how people progress from one level to the next, understanding how to master their own craft and to teach their craft to people with different learning modalities. No, it's the, you know, the guy who happened to have Thursday nights off from the factory, you know? So what mostly screws up our demographic, what mostly screws up our market, is that most consumers' experiences, their other experiences, are in pretty low-quality programs. And then when they come to us, they think we're the same. So that's our real challenge. It's not the other martial arts school down the street, right? It's that we have to figure out how to retrain the customer as they come in, the parent when they come in, or the family when they come in, or the adult man when he comes in, that this is not baseball, soccer, football. This is something very, very different. So I think that's pretty important. And if you look at the demographics, it reinforces everything I just said. If you look at the total U.S. population for the family market, the children market, 5 to 14 years of age, there are 41 million potential customers. Our rough estimate of the students that are currently participating in commercial schools is about 1.7 million, which is only 3.67% of our potential customers. Does that make sense? So even in the most densely populated area of martial arts schools, we're only reaching less than 4% of the possible people we could be reaching. So with that said, don't worry about the 4% that's already training in martial arts. Worry about the 96% that we're not reaching yet. That is where the big opportunity is in your martial arts business.
Yeah, well, I think before you move on from that, and you were talking about the kids market, and obviously
yeah.
The kids market is an excellent one, but we also know that there's a huge adult MMA, a huge men's market right now for what they perceive to be some version of MMA, whether that's Muay Thai or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or truly some kind of integrated MMA program done appropriately. There's a huge market for that. Now, what I hear a lot of times in that particular niche is somebody said to me yesterday, the day before, they said, well, everyone who comes to me for my school is already an educated consumer and knows about this stuff, so therefore the primary place that we have to compete is on price. Well, it's easy for people to think that that's a true statement if your primary driver of your new students is through online traffic, and that's primary through pay-per-click or search engine optimization. Because it's no different than 20 years ago if we predominantly were bringing people in from the Yellow Pages, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
yeah.
So one element of that is it's not a problem with the prospects, it's a problem with the marketing. Because we always prefer at least a strong element of what we're doing to be marketing in the vacuum, getting to them before they've even thought yet about doing this. The second thing is that in some portion of the people coming to you, they may truly shop all of the other people. My experience over the years is if you handle them well from the get-go, in other words, you opt them in, get them on the phone, get them in for an appointment online, or if they call you and you make an appointment, you get them in, you really still make a decision of acting. They first make a decision that they really like or don't like what you're doing. They're really impressed or not impressed with what you're doing. They want to do it or they don't want to do it, and they make a decision about whether they can afford it, not about whether, how you stack up with the other schools in the area. And I guess the third thing that I would point out is we're still in an industry that even if they compare us with other martial arts schools, and I agree, mostly they're comparing us with in the adult market, 24-hour fitness or something like that, in the kids market, the soccer league. But even if they do compare us with other martial arts schools, as we all know, out of 15 or 18,000 commercial schools in the United States, there's 20% that are halfway decent, 80% that are horrible. And so it's really not a difficult thing to do to look pretty good compared to pretty much everybody else out there. And even if you have a relatively good competitor in your area, we all have strengths that we can play upon, and it doesn't have to be all about price.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, you can, if you imagine you would do this for yourself, what if you just stood on a blind corner downtown in your area, and you asked 10 people as they walk by, hey, have you ever heard of XYZ Karate? Of those 10 people, how many people do you think would ever say yes? You know what I mean? I mean, people don't know that we exist until they're looking for us, right? Which, again, a big principle that you just mentioned is marketing in a competitive vacuum, and that's something that we'll get to later, but that's a huge game changer for most of the people who come into our organization. Forget the people who are out there looking for us. We're going to get them anyway. But we want to create desire and need in a market that wasn't thinking about us yesterday, but are thinking about just me tomorrow. Not martial arts in general. They're thinking about me, right? They're not thinking about how many options they have. They're thinking about my program specifically. So we'll definitely talk about that. But, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Okay, we've got to accelerate just slightly on this, guys. So let me make sure I'm going to move pretty quickly here, and then we'll get to the walkthrough on the website really quickly. Number next is pretty straightforward. Bottom 80%ers in our industry believe that it's really all just about the kicking and punching. It's really all just for the customer, for the student. It's all about just the style, the art. And certainly that's important, but the top 20%ers in the industry know that their art is important. It's extremely important. But there's much more value that we can offer to our students, to our customers. And part of that value, again, is in the character development aspects. Part of that value is in their the experience that they have with us. And again, if you think about it out of the terms of your style, think about how the general consumer thinks about youth activities, if we're talking about the family market. Their previous experiences have mostly all been pretty amateurish. If we can really create an outstanding professional experience, it sets us completely apart from the rest of what's happening in the marketplace. So our objective is to solve bigger problems for our customers, bigger and more valuable problems that they might be having. And we're going to talk about that as we go through. Again, that doesn't diminish one bit how much we focus on our physical style, but it expands our belief in how much we can help our students, what we can really help them with. And we really want to be looking for those bigger challenges, those bigger problems that we can help solve for them. Next is the bottom 80%ers invest in their physical martial arts education a lot. They'll travel to Japan, they'll go to physical martial arts seminars and things like that a lot, but they're subconsciously resistant to investing in their business education. Their belief is that, well, if I'm a good enough martial artist, people will just flood into my door. And we all know that that's inaccurate. The best description of that I can describe is, the greatest fraud, I believe, ever perpetrated on the American small business owner and the American entrepreneur is this belief that if you build a better mousetrap, the world will be the path to your door. Well, you may not know this or not, but there have been more than 7,000 patents issued, not just applications, but patents issued for better mousetraps, right? There are millions of them. I've done a ton of research on them. I've looked at a bunch of these things. And the fact of the matter is no one has been creative and clever enough to persuade us we need a better one, right? And it's exactly the same in martial arts. You could be the best martial arts instructor in the world. We see it every day. In fact, just last week, one of my good friends, who literally is one of the top martial artists in the world, he closed his school. He just would not put the same energy, effort, and dedication in his business training that he did in his martial arts training. And nobody knew he existed. Nobody knew how good he was. They just simply didn't know. They simply don't know. So the top 20%ers know that they invest heavily both in their martial arts, their physical martial arts training, and in their business education.
You've got to be careful how you define being the best instructor in the world too. It's one thing to have the most sterling lineage and to have been the most accomplished athlete. It's something completely different to have the highest retention rates and highest graduation rates of black belt with the highest quality medium students. And I find a lot of 30, 40-year martial artists whose knowledge base is incredible have a very difficult time conveying that knowledge to certainly to beginner students. And that's not unusual. I mean, when I was in college, some of the most tenured, longest term, highest renowned international research professors couldn't teach freshmen or sophomores. And you do have to be careful how you're defining that as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. In fact, you know, for a bunch of years, I was studying the guitar, and my guitar instructor was a guy named Dave Curry. He was the guitar player for Steppenwolf, you know, Magic Carpet Ride, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of these guys that, like, he's almost like the tech support guy that you hate in your office, you know, that when you have a problem, they come over and go, here, just do this, and it's fixed, right? He was kind of the same, where, you know, he'd show you a lick or something, and he just does not have the ability to go slow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just have the ability to break the material down and communicate it very well. He's a fantastic musician, you know, but just does not have the ability to be a great instructor. So I totally agree.
That's like Jeff Smith and I were taking lessons from Nils Lofgren, who, if you watch Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, you have, what's his name, the guy from Sopranos who's on his right-hand side, or I guess to Springsteen's left, Neil's the guy on the other side who's playing lead guitar, Mills. He actually did the theme song for June Reed's TV spot years ago.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Just some don't have the ability to slow down, you know?
No.
Okay, so the next thing I think is important is, you know, bottom 80%ers invested time heavily in low-value activities, meaning they get so overwhelmed and distracted by, you know, going to Office Depot and buying paper, or handling the bookkeeping, or managing the billing, or, you know, fitting sparring pads, you know, things like that. And it's not the best, you know, activity for their time. It's not the best value for their time. And top 20%ers are very focused on investing their time in the highest value activities first. And in a martial arts school, almost all of us, and it's an overgenerality, but almost all of us should be focused primarily on attracting new customers and enrolling new students. Obviously, we have to facilitate the other components as well, but the top 20%ers understand that time is the only truly irreplaceable commodity. Everything else you can go get more of. You know, we can always find more money. We can always find other opportunities. But once a minute is gone, once that hour is spent, we never get it back. And since the only thing, you know, since really our only opportunity is to trade, you know, our time for money, right, and then leverage that, we have to make sure that we're investing those hours extremely, extremely judiciously on high-value activities first. Almost last is bottom 80%ers really make decisions very slowly. You know, I've had so many conversations with folks in this category that just it's just painful how difficult it is to make a decision, right? And it's because in some cases they're very risk averse. In other cases, it's just because they're you know, just very fearful. But here's the fundamental root of all this. The reason that people who struggle a bit have such a hard time making decisions is because they don't have a lens to look at problems through. They're sort of overwhelmed by all this data, all these different facts and components. The top 20%ers have a lens. They have a specific set of criteria that they look at making every decision through. And if all the boxes are ticked, they make a decision. They know how to make a decision, right? And one of the most important factors in making good decisions is what's the ROI, what's the return on investment, right? If I do this thing, if I take this action, if I try this marketing activity, if I invest this time on the website, if I do, you know, whatever, if I take action A, what is my expected ROI? What's the expected return on my investment? And that tends to be a really important lens to look through. If you don't have some criteria by which to make decisions, it makes making them so much more difficult. But when you have those criteria, when you know what boxes you're trying to tick, it makes it so easy to make decisions. It also makes it very easy for you to stick with that decision because the fundamental core factors haven't changed, right? The ROI is still there. Yes, of course I'm going to run that direct mail campaign again. It returned to me. I spent $2,000 on the direct mail campaign. I got 5 phone calls. I enrolled 3 students. Those 3 students are worth $3,000 apiece to me. It was a $9,000 return on my $2,000 investment. Do you think I'm going to do it again? Yeah, I think so, right? So these are the things that are vitally important for us to be thinking about as we move forward. And the other piece of that is how quickly they implement. So bottom 80%ers move, change, and implement very slowly. Very slowly. Top 20%ers focus on the speed of implementation. They know that not everything they're going to do is going to work. In fact, a lot of things we're going to do are going to fail. But the more of them we do, right, if we do 10 things, if we only do one thing and it goose eggs on us, we're dead, right? But if we do 10 things and 3 of them goose egg, 3 of them do just okay, and 4 of them are great, hey, we're on top of the world, right? So it's exactly the same thing. You want to focus on speed of implementation. It's extremely important. The last two components I wanted to mention before we look at the website here quickly is this is very important. Let's go back so no one's distracted. This is very important. Bottom 80%ers end up being surrounded by other people who are also bottom 80%ers just by happenstance, right? If you look at just the average day that we have as a martial arts school operator, we're surrounded by our students, we're surrounded by their families, we're surrounded by maybe vendors and other people, you know, other people in our business. But that's just the environment we sort of ended up in. But what's vitally important, think about one of the things that you do for your students that is fundamentally valuable, fundamentally important to them and their development in their martial arts, is you've taken them out of their environment and put them in your environment, right? You've put them in a highly structured, highly goal-oriented, highly focused environment. See, if you went into their home and tried to teach them martial arts the way we do in the class, it wouldn't work as well because they're too comfortable there, right? They're too used to the surroundings. But when we put them in our highly structured, highly organized, highly disciplined, goal-setting environment, we can have much better results. But unfortunately, as a school owner, we tend not to do that for ourselves, right? We're sort of stuck in our environment, in our classroom, surrounded by people who can't help push us to the next level. Top 20%ers deliberately surround themselves with other top 20%ers, right? They deliberately go seek out other people who are ahead of them, who are, you know, financially better off than they are, who, you know, business-wise have perhaps more knowledge, more experience, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They intentionally surround themselves with other top 20%ers, and, you know, by connection to that, they end up sort of avoiding bottom 80%ers. Because it is vitally, vitally, vitally important that you manage what gets into your head. Everything that enters your mind, everything that you say to yourself, everything that moves in your head has an impact. And if you're constantly imbued or just peppered with your idiot brother-in-law who says, oh God, the economy's so bad, that's why everybody's struggling right now. And if you're constantly bombarded by the news that says, oh my God, we're never going to get over this fiscal cliff and taxes are going to be terrible and all the businesses are going to close and nobody's going to hire and the whole thing is going to hell in a handbasket. If that's what's getting into your head, that is what you begin to believe. But if you're surrounded by other top 20%ers and what's getting into your head is about all the opportunity that they see, right, there will be more millionaires created next year than have ever been created in history past, right? There will be more cash, more money, more physical dollars flowing through our economy in the next 5 years than has ever flowed through our economy ever in the history of our country. So if that's what's getting into your mind, then you start looking for solutions, right? You start figuring out ways to make this stuff work rather than figuring out all the ways it won't work, right? So I think that's vitally, vitally important. And that's probably one of our last steps, so that might be a good one for some feedback.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Well, I was saying I've only got one more on this particular topic, so that top 20%ers surrounding themselves with the right people might be useful for you.
Yeah, I will say, bro. I will say for a lot of people, that's a controversial point because they feel like they shouldn't determine their friends based on their, say, socioeconomic status. And, you know, clearly you're going to be surrounded by family. If you use the example of the brother-in-law, you know, that just don't think right about the world. And they may not be people that you want to abstain from your life, but you do have to get used to monitoring your own self-talk, you know, metaphorically putting your fingers in your ear when they try to talk about something that's going to be counterproductive for what you're trying to accomplish. But the on a daily basis, it's so important to make a conscious decision about who you're going to hang out with, who you're going to listen to, and certainly within your business, it's so much more useful to be hanging out with the peak performers guys than it is to be hanging out with just whoever happens to show up at whatever seminar or tournament you go to. And not that the seminars and the tournament things are unimportant. As you know, I promoted a big tournament for 10 years, but I had to be very good at not getting into the conversation, not sitting in on the conversation when the, you know, and in this case it was the bottom 99% were trying to give me their opinions about why, you know, why the martial arts business is difficult or why it's, or why they were just fine being broke. So you've got to be constantly aware of that and constantly aware of who to listen to, who not to listen to, and how to find the right circle. And I think clearly, you know, the quarterly meetings we have with the Inner Circle and peak performers, I mean, that's the right group of people because they're all open-minded and they're trying to learn, they're paying attention. It's so important not to end up in the, you know, in the company of people who just aren't thinking right about the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a huge difference. I mean, most of us, again, we're just unfortunately surrounded by people who can't get us to the next level, and then we listen to them. You know, it's really kind of a self-defeating prophecy. Okay, good. And then final slide, and then we want to take a quick look through the website just for this particular point. Bottom 80%ers, this is a fundamental behavior that I really kind of want you to consider. Bottom 80%ers avoid action in fear of failure. They're so fearful of, my God, what if this doesn't work? They're so fearful of, man, if I work this hard and it doesn't work, I'm going to be so pissed off, right? They're so fearful that they avoid taking action altogether. And the top 20%ers really want to be on the opposite side of the coin. They still feel fear, no question. Everybody, I think, feels fear. But they manage what they feel. And they take massive action because they don't really believe in failure as a concept. There really is no failure. There's just a result, right? Either it was a good result or a bad result or a mediocre result, but it's just a result. And I learn from that result regardless of whether it's a positive or a negative result, right? And now, unfortunately, bottom 80%ers forget to remember their results. They forget to track their results. They forget to, you know, monitor, measure, and document their results. Therefore, they, in some cases, make the same mistake over and over and over again. Top 20%ers are very specific about their results and very conscious of what worked, how it worked, why it worked, you know, under what conditions did it work, and then try to go replicate those activities. So I think this ability to take action is important. Now, everybody on the call has taken an action, right? You know, there's a bunch of folks on the call who are brand new to the organization. You've taken an action to become part of this thing. Now, that's a big step, I know, for many people. You've taken that first step. Now, the question is, when you go back to the slide we talked about earlier, looking at your current results, you've got to look at those results, and I'll walk you through in just a moment how you can start to look at the modules that are going to help you plug those holes, help you fix those gaps. So that was the last slide. I'm going to move on to the site whenever you're ready.
Yeah, no, let's go right ahead.
Okay. So then the other thing I wanted to kind of point out today for everybody, and again, this is going to be very useful if you're on the website, if you're on the webinar component. If you're not, I'll post this video as well. You won't miss anything. But a few things I wanted to point out on the website, just for your ease of use and understanding how the thing works. Obviously, there are actually three websites inside this one website here that you have access to, and I kind of want to walk you through a few of these components. If I'm relatively new to the organization, where I really want you to start is right here under the member toolbox. If you go to the very first blue link, this blue navigation is going to be kind of like your core navigation around the website. If you look at the member toolbox, the very first link says Maximum Impact, Quick Start Here. You know, that's where I want you to start. Those are going to be the first, and if you click that one, this is what you get. Those are the fundamental lessons, sort of A to Z, that I want you to be thinking about in order. And again, the first one is about the statistics that we just talked about today. You know, when we went through the slides with all the, you know, warm leads, intros, enrollments, renewals, retention, those are the first things I really want you to take a look at. Because here's what you have to avoid. Again, if there's almost 3,000 hours of content on this website, you can't possibly go fix everything at once. It's just like if you took a martial arts student, well, let's say you're a black belt in Taekwondo, and you took that person who's a black belt in Taekwondo, and you threw him into a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu class of black belts, and you said, here's all the curriculum, go learn it all, right? Well, pretty quickly you'd be overwhelmed and not have any progress and be pretty, you know, irritated and upset and really have not really accomplished very much. So what you've got to do in this particular environment is take a look at what's currently happening in your business right now. Go through that statistics process, this one right here, Quick Start Lesson 1, Stat Tracking and Target Ratios. Go through that. There's a little statistics form. All that stuff is up there for you. Then when you look at your targets, at your ratios, if your warm lead to intro conversion ratio is, let's say, 40%, right? Well, we know our target is 80%, so there's a huge area of opportunity for us. So if that's the case, that's what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on the biggest gaps, you know, the gaps first. Don't worry about all this other stuff. You know, there's so many things up here for you to take advantage of, but really we want to be very deliberate over the next few weeks to make sure that you get moving quickly and that you start making life-changing improvements in the school. I don't want you to get too overwhelmed and start, you know, oh my God, I've got to do a rotating curriculum and I've got to fix the website and I have to make sure I get my direct mail campaign working. I've got to work on my follow-up sequence for new leads and I've got to, oh my God, right? Now, like you said earlier, Mr. Oliver, you've got an 82-point to-do list, but you're afraid to take action because it's too damn long, right? And that's not what this is. This is very specific. Once you have a good perspective of exactly what those ratios are, what those numbers are, it's easy for us to help you pinpoint what the next action steps are. Okay? So that's step number one. Definitely go through the quick start area and work your way through this process, especially number one. The rest of them are all very useful as well. They're all different best practices that we're going to help you facilitate through our interaction with each other. But that's going to be kind of the core component for you. Make sure that you get that first one done. And then you'll also notice that for people who've been around a while, I've added a new link here, Martial Arts Business Systems 101. I've added a new navigation item just to help organize this a little bit differently. There are three fundamental components that I've included in this Business 101 section. And these are very basic 101 topics. It's number one, handling the information call or the information visit, handling the first interaction with the customer. If you click that, it'll bring you back a couple of results. The second is how to handle the introductory process. And the third is how to handle the enrollment and sales process. And again, these are basically just very simple, easy places for you to get started, right? But once you've kind of identified how the current school is performing, then you can kind of go into one of these modules and take a look and start kind of studying up on that area, okay? Now, obviously, there are so many other areas on the website for you to look at. There's so much material up there that it would just be impossible for me to, you know, go through all that today. But I wanted to point out three other highlights. Number one, under the number toolbox, if you go into the archives, there's an archive section in here. We have a Maximum Impact Teleconference Archive, Sound Success Archive, and an Interview Archive. In just those three areas, you'll find, I don't know, several hundred hours of very in-depth, specific discussions about specific topics. So if I go to that Maximum Impact Teleconference Archive, let's say, for example, you're looking for a community outreach marketing strategy. Well, you can sort through that page and find probably five or six of them, right? If you're looking for a holiday-specific item, you'll be able to find it there, you know, by category. So this archive section is a place for you to kind of check out. There's a lot of material there for you to take a look at. The other two things are these. In both this gray navigation item and under the Mastering the Classroom, there's something called the Classroom Mastery Institute. And what that is basically a video service. And here's what that looks like. We have, I think, about 400 videos, maybe it's 380 videos, something like that, that are designed for you to just kind of help keep your classroom fresh and exciting. And what we do typically on this is have the staff members spend about 7 minutes on a Monday morning meeting just kind of looking through a couple of these videos. You can look at them by category. You can look at adult videos, adrenal stress training, boxing, fitness drills, commas, you know, you name it. You can look at them by category. And if you had your staff just watch maybe one or two videos a week, three or four videos a week, they would be able to go into their class with some sort of new, fresh, creative classroom ideas. There's also some classroom strategy under teaching strategy. There's also some teaching strategy content that's very useful, how to manage a rotating curriculum, the 12-class management skills, we call them the daily dozen, the 12-class management skills to help manage the instructors in your class and things like that. So this is a very useful tool for everybody. The next item, the last item I wanted to point out on here is called the NATLA Marketing Print Center. And we're actually in the middle of a transition on this, so I'll explain that in just a moment. But this is an archive, I guess, for lack of a better term, of print campaigns, flyers, posters, ad cards, door hangers, I mean, you name it. You name the category, let me look at the catalog. All that are designed to help you put a really professional face on the school. You know, many of them are full-color, you know, black and white versions as well, but many of them are very nice-looking full-color posters and postcards and flyers and things like that that you can use in your school for marketing, both external and internal, and also for, you know, web promotion, banners, all sorts of things like this. And what we've done on these is, like, these are ad cards, for example. There's, I don't know, I think about 10 different Christmas campaigns up here, you know, Valentine's Day, Halloween, you name it, right? Just little handout cards. And what we've done on these is you have a couple of options. You can actually, if you feel like doing graphics work yourself, if you want to just customize these and use them yourself, you can download the art files here. We used to provide all this stuff on a CD for everybody, but the CD couldn't hold enough space. We actually, you know, couldn't include enough material on there, so now we have it just up in Random Access Database. Or you can actually order them for print. So these ad cards, for example, I can order like 5,000 ad cards for like $150, you know? So it's astronomically inexpensive. Now, full disclosure, our current printing vendor has not worked out as well as we would hope to have him had. So we're actually transitioning our print vendor on this in the next couple of days. But that's just like a little FYI. This will all still be up and running just fine. So you can go through here and take a look at all this marketing material, all that's available for you to either download or customize and have printed and shipped to you, or even mailed to your prospective students. So that's just an additional feature that you have to be able to sort of take advantage of. Now, there are two other things, Mashalva, that I wanted to do quickly before we ran out of time today. Number one is that I think we've already talked about, as a quick recap, we've already talked about how important it is not to get overwhelmed with all this stuff, to go and look at the current results of your business, then be laser-focused on solving one problem at a time. We talked, I think, about how important it is to take massive action on what it is that you're trying to solve, what we're doing. Just doing, you know, one little thing here or there isn't, I think, the key to the castle on this stuff. In many cases, it's dramatic action. So the last two things I think I would want to mention, Oliver, is number one is we already have a good number of our new folks who I've talked to over the last few days who are in massive action mode and who are getting good results, who are building momentum already. Richard Barron is a good example. Richard, I think, is on the call. Richard has a martial arts school, has been a pretty small school for quite a while, and he's been in a shopping mall, and to date really hadn't leveraged his location, really hadn't leveraged his opportunity in the shopping mall. So we did a bunch of boost models over Black Friday, generated I think 120 something leads over the weekend. I think did 6 or 7 enrollments. You know, some things like that. Some really good momentum just in a few days. So things like that are game-changing opportunities for folks. So really good work, Richard. You know, it's exactly what we need to do. Take massive action on this stuff, and it really produces results. Gary Horner is another good example. Just talked to him a little while ago. I talked to Gary Horner when he started in the program, I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he's already had his, one of the things that we identified was his web presence was really costing him a lot of enrollments. He was revealing pricing and a bunch of other things on his website that shouldn't be there. And he's re-engineered the site very quickly. There's still a few areas of opportunity there, but what Gary was telling me was the very next day, he hadn't gotten a web lien online in a long time. You know, he didn't. I don't think he remembered the last time he had people actually, you know, contact him through the website. But the very first day he launched the redesigned site, he got two or three people that day that opted in. And now since then, it's been a trickle every day. And he still has a few things to work on. But you know, that type of quick, massive action is exactly what it takes to get good results. Now, I think there's two things that I wanted to mention about that. Number one, before
you skip that one, I was going to say something here on the print site. This high quality, really nice, two color printing or a full color printing, two sides, is really cheap nowadays. And especially with the suppliers that we've lined up, you know, it's probably hard to beat the price, and you know, it's no skin off our nose. If you do, go get it done the cheapest way possible. But what you and I were finding is some of the blowback we got on that was, well, I just want to download it and print it on my printer in the office because I'm going to print 300 flyers. And then it'd be the same people who would say to us, well, I've been doing everything you told us to do. And you start asking them, they say, well, we did the rack card idea. Well, how many did you do? 200. But what they meant was they printed up 200 little pieces of paper on their printer and put out like 5 rack card holders in their shopping center, and were appalled that they weren't getting flooded with business. And of course, when we say get 400 out, we mean 400 holders with about 50 cards each that you replenish every month. And so much of this is about volume. You know, flyers door to door don't work unless you do a bunch of them. And then it works okay, right? Or door hangers door to door. The rack card thing work abysmally unless you have a bunch of them out, and they work fairly well. So it's all about that massive action piece of it is, and it's why, by the way, retention is so important. Because I think people always underestimate how difficult it is getting new students. And frankly, underinvest time and money on keeping students they've got, and fail to recognize the incredible value that comes from the ones that are already there.
Yeah, I agree. And again, you know, when you really run the numbers off on it, if you print them on your own printer at the school, it's probably, you know, 16 cents a copy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably spending more money to print 200 of them there. But I totally agree. The last thing I think I would say is this. We have a lot of folks who are just getting their feet wet in our organization right now. And we have basically 5 levels of membership inside of NAMA. The baseline level is called Maximum Impact. And that's where, again, it's kind of like a correspondence course. It's kind of like earning your MBA by correspondence. You've got the mail packages that are going to hit your box every couple of weeks, or every couple of weeks. You've got, you know, a huge website, you know, the huge members website, and these resources that we just talked about that are immensely valuable for you. But it's kind of like a self-study course. You're kind of on your own. You really want to kind of dissect the business and make sure that you're solving the problems in the right order. The second level, second and third level, are called the peak performers and the inner circle groups. And those groups are basically where we work with you directly one-on-one to identify where the opportunities are. And it's really only designed for people who want massive implementation extremely fast. This is light-speed implementation type stuff. A lot of folks that, would normally kind of get bogged down in the weeds, this can really help them get up to speed very, very quickly, because it's just like being in a martial arts classroom. They have an instructor looking over their shoulder who can really keep them on task, right, and really kind of keep them focused on the real problems rather than get distracted by the fictional problems. And then above the inner circle, we have a millionaire wealth group, and we also have a multi-school mastermind group that are designed for people in those categories. But the other opportunity that we have right now that we're actually filling up spaces on very, very quickly is we have, I think, Michelle, you have, I think, 5 days available next week, next year, and so do I. I think you have 4 and I have 5, something like that. We have time blocked out next year to actually go visit member schools and do a full-day on-site analysis and consultation with them. And this is, you know, we get on a plane and go visit the location. And Master Oliver, you had just done a few of these at the end of the year here, one with Carol Middleton out in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
A few others. And, you know, my argument the other day on the letter was, you know, if you had the opportunity to have somebody look over your shoulder and really dig into the business in granular detail on site, you know, just imagine how much that's worth to you, you know, over the period of a year or 2 years with what kind of granularity that can give you.
I'll say in my case, some of the more useful times that I've done this, of course I've done quite a few over the years, is from an opportunity to do high-level staff training with all of the staff in one place, and then do high-level black belt training with all of those black belts in one place. Plus, just to really see how the school is operating, and there's always going to be some pretty major room for points of opportunity that having the learning go one way, listening to CDs and DVDs and hearing about what other people say is useful at the school, and very useful. But having a trained eye look at your operation and find the glaring opportunities is just, you know, is incalculable in value. At least that's what I've always found with these things.
No, absolutely. And I mean, that's exactly kind of, you know, where having an objective eye is extremely important. I mean, it, you know, my analogy has always been, especially over the last year or so, it's like being in a 12-round prize fight, a 12-round title fight. And now it's round 8, you know, and whether you're winning the fight or losing the fight, you've still been punched in the face for 8 straight rounds, right? So even if you're winning, you're beat up a little, you know? And when the bell rings and you go sit down on the stool in the corner, most of the value that coach brings to you is the fact that he wasn't in the fight with you. You know what I mean? It was that he was standing outside the ring and he was able to watch the fight objectively and be able to give you some feedback on what's really happening to you out there. You know, when you're in the middle of a fight, it's damn hard to see what's happening to you. You know, you're kind of in survival mode part of the time, you know, so it's real difficult to be objective about this type of thing when you're in the middle of it. So, you know, it's why, you know, they say it's hard to see the forest for the trees, right? But it's really useful to have someone from the outside objectively look in, especially if what your intent is for dramatic revolutionary change. Dramatic revolutionary improvement in business. This is one of the things that is a huge catalyst for that type of a process. So if anyone is interested in that, again, you know, we have a very small number of days. You know, Master Oliver likes to travel less and less and less and less, and I certainly am not, you know, looking for reasons to get on a plane. But if that's something that you're interested in,
And by the way, I've done more than one, and of course with, you know, be willing to, you know, discount the cost of it a little bit. I've done more than one where they came here to Evergreen and we sat on the deck for the day. That obviously loses the train all the staff experience and so forth. But many times somebody has one or two big problems they're trying to grope with. I remember both Joe Berucki and Nico Pellet and a few others who really found that extremely valuable.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That is right. There's an on-site option where we'll actually come to your site, and there's an off-site option where you can come either to, you know, Denver or Orlando or wherever we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be in Boston and L.A. and San Diego and things like that. So there are those options as well. But just give Bob Dunn a call at the office at 727-540-0500, extension 202. He can walk you through any of that. Or just shoot myself or Bob an email, and we can walk you through the logistics. It's certainly you know, worth its weight in gold in almost all cases. Certainly historically has proven that way. But anyway, so, you know, my Charlotte, that really kind of wraps up my agenda. You know, again, the quick recap is, it, you know, don't get overwhelmed. Take fast action. Look at the current numbers in the business. Surround yourself with these peak performers and inner circle members. These are the guys that you really want to hang out with. You want to, you know, start to avoid quote-unquote loser speak. You know, you don't want to have people who are out there telling you how tough it is and how, you know, we certainly have to be realistic about things, no question about it, but you want to surround yourself with people who are going to help you with opportunity, not distract you from opportunity. you know, congratulations to a few of our new folks, Richard and Gary, and there's a large number of others as well who have already taken some big action on things. These just happened to be the two that popped into my head, you know, before I got on the call today. You know, it's definitely going to be a fantastic 2013, regardless of whether our Congress decides to get their head out of their collective, you know, black holes and solve these fiscal problems our nation has. We still have more opportunity in this country next year than, you know, most of the rest of the world has combined. So,
I would only add to that that the odds of the group that we have now doing anything that's going to solve any of our collective issues is pretty non-existent. what we've got to always do is have the skill set and the knowledge base and the capabilities to thrive in any environment. And, you know, and we're in an economic environment that is very slowly crawling back. But in an environment that's very slowly crawling back, we're working with an awful lot of schools that are doing very, very, very well. So, you know, you certainly don't wait around and watch the news and see what these yo-yos are going to do. And I mean that on both sides. I don't think there's going to be, you know, any room for them to end up cooperating much. And even if they did, you've got, you know, 550 lawyers sitting around trying to figure out how to solve an economy that's pretty damn complex. So it's not necessarily the right group of people to try to make complicated decisions anyway.
The only
last thing I would say is, you know, seasonality right now is you've got to have in place right now a huge January beginning of the year marketing plan. And many of the community outreach events and activities and so forth are things you have to set up now in order to implement beginning of January. And this is the best time of the year, strangely enough, believe it or not, to do big cash flow. And our Inner Circle Peak Performers meeting, we did a huge amount of content on doing this end-of-year renewal blitz, and I think an awful lot of them are sucking up an incredible amount of cash right now. But it's certainly the time that you can do the highest growth at the school of any time of the year. So don't be complacent and just, you know, don't shut down the 15th and say, you know, we'll go back at it next year. There's a lot of business to be done right now. And it's certainly better to go into the holiday flush than stress.
Yeah, absolutely, no question. And, you know, maybe the last thing to mention quickly here is I had volunteered, Mr. Oliver, with a couple of the new folks to do another webinar next week on Friday. And although it's booking up pretty quickly on that, but here's what I would suggest. Anybody who has any specific questions about basically anything, especially anything we accomplished today, but any specific questions, whether it's, you know, how to interact with the member content, member materials, how to implement any of these strategies, you know, really anything, but especially, you know, especially to do with what your current experience has been so far inside the organization, I'm happy to do another webinar on Friday without an agenda, with just the agenda of what you send me. Meaning whatever questions, whatever specific questions you have, let's address them. Whatever specific implementation strategy challenges or whatever the case may be, send them over to me by email, tobymilroy@nama.com, and I'll compile that list of action items, and I'll create the agenda from those action items rather than any agenda that I might have, right, of content that I want to get to you. So, you know, we're out of time for today, so we won't have time to break for questions, but any specific questions that you do have, zap them over to me. I'll compile all that, and I'll put together another webinar for next week, and we'll address all of that at that time, and have plenty of time to open it up for open Q&A, anything that you might want interaction on. So everybody send that over to me right away, and I'll start compiling all that. And that's
okay,
all right.
Yeah.
I think we've lost our time for the day.
Yeah, we're over time. So everybody have a fabulous momentum for the month here, so let's keep it rolling, go back and review your notes because this is an awful lot of content. So well done, good job, Master Milroy, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Thanks, everybody. Be good with you. Be safe. It's going to take a while to shut all this down. So be safe, everybody. Thanks for your time. Okay, I think I have a couple more quick times.